You know, this Saturday is the Witches of Whiting event that we've been praying for all month. And you know, this season is all about glorification of spiritual forces, as well as, you know, the talk about witches of Whiting, all those things can cause fear. But as believers, yeah. Okay. Yeah, they'll go and take care of her. How we think about spiritual forces in our enemy as believers, how do we do that? So we're just going to talk about that today. We're going to share some biblical teaching. I'm going to read a lot of scripture to you today, because I don't want to just present with you my thoughts about spiritual warfare. Because quite frankly, it doesn't matter what our opinions are of the matter. What matters is what God says. And so we're going to look at a biblical framework for how we are to think about these things. I have heard lots of conversations, lots of whatever, lots of worries. I am telling you, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are not called to be afraid. If you have your Bibles, feel free to follow along with us. If you just want to write down the scriptures so that you can turn around and look at them later when you have more of an opportunity and can reread them for yourself, please do so. Like I said, we're going to be scripture heavy today. Here's the first thing that we need to address when we're talking about spiritual forces and the fear of spiritual forces. Spiritual forces do exist. Okay? I know in America that if you believe in the devil and in spiritual forces, that they're a very real thing, that a lot of people are going to consider you superstitious. Or a fanatic weirdo. Because in America, we are people of reason. Right? And I use that very loosely, right? But the Bible does teach us that Satan and his forces do exist. Job, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth. I've been around. And from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason?" I'm going to read a couple of portions of scripture today from Job and some other places. But I'm using Job because I think Job gives us some really good insight into the spiritual realm. Here we have a meeting in the heavenly realms. Did you know that they regularly have staff meetings in heaven? Right? Where a day when the sons of God, the term sons of God is referring to the angels, those created beings, come and present themselves before the Lord, and God talks with them. Wrong direction. And Satan, in this meeting, makes his own appearance before God. We see him dialoguing with God. And as part of that dialogue, we see Satan doing his thing, which is accusing the brethren. His thing is he's accusing Job. Well, God, Job only cares about you because you've been good to him. But if it wasn't for the fact that he was prosperous and God, that you have given him so much, he would turn his back on you in a heartbeat. That is Satan's accusation. This is very much the character of Satan. He is real. He is an accuser of the brethren. And Scripture consistently portrays him as a reality in the world. Don't panic yet, though. Okay, we're not done yet. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Well, that's not encouraging. But I share that verse with you because even in the New Testament, we are presented with this reality that Satan and his forces are real, and they do seek to destroy the lives of people. Satan is portrayed as this cunning, dangerous beast. Spiritual forces in this world are real. And just because we can't see spiritual forces with our natural eyes doesn't mean they don't exist. Wisdom and biblical truth tells us that we should take the reality of an enemy seriously. He's not just a superstition or a funny little man with a beard and a red suit, horns and a tail and a pitchfork. I wish he was, because that would be a whole lot less intimidating, right? But spiritual forces do exist in this world, and they're something that we should be aware of. And I choose that word purposely. Aware is different than afraid. Okay? Here's the second thing we need to take note of when we're talking about fear and spiritual forces. Spiritual forces do have supernatural power. I know you probably weren't thinking that's where I was going to go with this. We'll get there. Just bear with me, okay? Follow my train of thought. I'm on a train. It's going somewhere. Let's see where it's going. Job 1:12-19. And the Lord said to Satan, behold all that he has in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand. So Satan went out. My brain is not registering it today. Only against him do not stretch out your hand. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabines fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. The next thing that we need to consider is the enemy had some really real effects on Job and the physical world. Satan influences the Sabaeans and Chaldeans to attack and harass Job. They kill his livestock and his servant, his servants. Satan causes fire to consume more of Jacob's livestock and servants. They appear to have some influence. I don't know if it's over the weather or if it's over the structure of the house, but they have some influence there where that causes the house to collapse. If you continue to read, and lots of scriptures today, so I'm not going to put them all up there, but if you continue to read on in the story of Job, Satan then goes and attacks and afflicts Job with boils and sores as well. They did have an effect. I want to make a caveat here, though. I think it's really important for us to take note that not every natural disaster, death, sickness, is a result of Satan or satanic influences. Jesus himself said that sometimes these things happen for the glory of God. If you remember, there was a blind man that Jesus healed. And the disciples were like, whose fault was it that he was blind? Was it his parents' fault? Was it his fault? Whose fault? And Jesus said, nobody's fault. But this was for the glory of God. We shouldn't be looking for Satan behind every difficult or less than ideal thing. Okay? Our focus shouldn't be on Satan. Our focus should be on God. We shouldn't be naive. We shouldn't think that this world is all that there is, or that Satan is just a fairy tale, because scripture is clear about that. But on the other hand, we shouldn't feel like every time something happens, it's the devil attacking us. If you trip and fall over your own feet, which I do all the time, that's not Satan, that's Todd. I'm not tripping you, I'm sorry. Sometimes our own consequences catch up with us. The consequences of our own choices catch up with us. That's not Satan. That's sometimes we make bad choices. Right? But we do have a very real enemy. Revelation 12, 7 through 8. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. So just so you know, again, even in the spiritual realm, Michael, one of God's top angels, did battle with demonic forces, okay? So there is that reality. But also, take notice that Michael won. You know why? Because God is all-powerful. Okay? Come on. All right, here we come to the encouraging stuff. Ready? Spiritual forces remain under God's ultimate authority. Let's read a couple of verses back from Job again. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Notice that God is putting a limit on Satan. His livestock you can take, but don't you touch him. Okay? Now, just so, and I think we all know this in the story, Satan does his thing. We just read about it, how he took everything from Job, and Job does not rebel against God. And so Satan comes back in a second staff meeting. And he's like, God, you limited me too much. What if Job got sick? What if you oppressed him directly? What if? And God's like, okay. Job 2, 4 through 6. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. All that a man has, he will give up for his life. But stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, only spare his life. Now, if you notice reading through this, that Satan did not and cannot step outside of what God allows him to do. There are very clear things here. Though Satan is at work to crush Job, Satan has to ask God for permission. God does not allow Satan, God does allow Satan a certain amount of freedom for his glory. But Satan has to follow the limits that God puts on it. Do you know why? Because Satan is under the authority of God. He is a created being. He is not all powerful. I'm getting ahead of myself. Hold on. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll get to that in a second. While Satan does at times seek to oppress and harass believers, he is under the authority of God. Although sometimes people will say that on earth, Satan has all the authority. Or that Satan sometimes has rights to the people of earth. But I am telling you that show me where in Scripture it says that. He is under the authority of God. The Bible very clearly teaches here in Job and in other scriptures that Satan is subject to the authority of God. He does not have the freedom to do whatever he wants. If God says no, it means no. Ezekiel 28:13. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, and carbuncle. When was the last time someone said, I want to give you a carbuncle ring? I don't even know what carbuncle is. Sounds like something from the ocean, right? And crafted in gold were your settings and your engravings. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. This is talking about Satan. On the day Lucifer was created, he is a created being. All right, let me show you some more what Ezekiel 28, just towards that. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till unrighteousness was found in you. What does that say? You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created. It is important that we remember that God and Satan are not on the same level. They are not. God is omnipotent. God has existed from the beginning. Always existed. There is no such thing as pre-God. No beginning. No end. Nobody created God. One of the things that is often talked about that the world uses to kind of like be like, oh, see, God's not real, is they're like, according to your Bible, everything is created, everything has a beginning. So then who created God? Like they think that's like the gotcha moment. Well, everything that's been created has a creator. God was not created. He has always been, and he always will be. And the existence of the universe necessitates that there be a creator outside of the universe, and that's God. The universe did not create itself. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere, all the time, and nothing escapes his sight. God is all-knowing. He has all the knowledge that there is to know. I have almost none of the knowledge that there is to know. How many of you have ever felt like that? Like, there is more, I don't even know where to begin, right? God knows it all. Satan is none of those things. He has a beginning. He has an end. He is limited in power. He is limited in knowledge. And he is limited to a location. In other words, I know sometimes we're like, Satan, you know, Satan's attacking me. But he can't attack us in Whiting and believers in China at the same time. Okay? He can't be everywhere at the same time. He is a created being. He is not God. He doesn't hold any authority. God holds all the authority. And Satan does, will, and must submit to God's authority in all things. This is good news. The Holy Spirit is greater than spiritual forces. As believers, the moment you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, that means God's presence is in you. He gives you the Holy Spirit. And every born-again believer has the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. Okay, it's not like some weird force of God. He is God. And he is in every believer. John 14, 16 through 17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Clearly, Scripture teaches that for believers, the Holy Spirit is in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. Anyone, that includes, right? That includes demonic forces there. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. As much as spiritual forces are a reality, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the life of every believer is also, and more important, a reality. And when we talk about spiritual forces and what the enemy is trying to do, we have to keep in mind that we have the Holy Spirit. We are not abandoned. We are not alone in this world. God's presence goes with us, and God's presence lives in us. The Holy Spirit is God and therefore is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. Therefore, the one who is in us is greater than him in the world. 1 John 4:4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. God himself is greater than anything that exists, not just in this physical world, but also in the spiritual world. Okay? Something else to consider. Spiritual forces will be judged by Jesus. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. He's not talking about a political ruler. He is talking about Satan. Revelation 20:10. The devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That is the judgment that will take place on Satan. It's important that we don't allow fear to cloud what Scripture says is true. Though there is a very real enemy, the fate of that enemy is already known. Okay? Satan does not triumph. He is not the victor. He does not go on unopposed. He doesn't win. He doesn't overthrow God. He doesn't claim the throne, and believers are not enslaved to him. It is very clear from Scripture that Satan is already defeated. He lost when he rebelled against God in heaven. He got the boot. He lost when he thought he destroyed humanity in the garden. He thought, ooh, look, they fell into sin. I won. But what was part of God's judgment that day? You'll nip on the heel, but he'll crush your head. He thought it was a victory, but it was only a proclamation of his loss, right, is what came out of that. He lost when he thought he had defeated Jesus on the cross. He's like, ha, 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 you're dead. And we were like, ha, 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 our sins are forgiven, right? He lost when he thought he had that victory. He lost when he thought Jesus was dead and buried. He's in the ground now. Yeah, but he was only paying rent. He didn't pay a mortgage because he didn't stay there, right? He has already lost during the great tribulation to come. It hasn't even happened yet. But we know in the end, he's lost. At the end of those 7 years, Jesus comes back and he's defeated. He's thrown into the pit. Now I know what you're thinking. Well, that's only temporary. 1,000 years is a long time, first of all. But what happens at the end of those 1,000 years of Jesus' millennial reign? God allows him to escape. He rebels again and is defeated. Defeated once and for all. And I know that these are things to come, but the reality we can hold on to now. Satan has already lost. He has already been defeated. There is no question of that outcome. It's not like, well, I hope. You know, though movies and books and sometimes even our own mind, there's a possibility of evil winning. even in Christian media sometimes, we present Satan as more powerful than what he is. But the reality is, he's already lost. And Christ is already triumphant. Amen. Colossians 2:15, which is the verse that's in your bulletin. He disarmed the rulers and authorities, and he put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Open shame. There is a song, and I can't play it well or sing it well, but it says, the enemy has been defeated. The enemy has been defeated. Na, 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 na. Nothing can keep our Lord down. So then with all of this, how do we respond? Well, here's how we respond to God's word today. 1 Peter 5:8. I read this already, but I'm going to read it again. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. We need to be aware that there is an enemy. And that enemy is scheming to distract us. And if we're not aware of that, there's good chances that we will get tripped up by the enemy. So we refuse to be naive. But we don't overemphasize Satan either. We don't live in fear of them. We remain aware. We remain wise so that we're not taken off guard, but we don't freak out. And that is a technical term. Okay? Be sober-minded, be watchful. We also have a healthy respect of spiritual realities and powers. This is what I mean by that. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims, seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the men in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. I bring up this scripture because I want to clarify something. We should need to have a healthy respect, okay? And by respect, I don't mean honor, admire, regard. I mean we need to not take spiritual forces lightly, okay? The seven sons of Sceva, just so you know, they were the sons of a priest. They did not have a relationship with Jesus. And so when they saw Paul doing his thing, and they were like, we can do that too. And they tried to do their thing. And that's why the demon says, Jesus I know, Paul I recognize, who are you? They didn't have a healthy respect of the spiritual things that were going on. We don't mess around with spiritual forces, okay? The horoscope is not innocent. Tarot cards are not innocent, okay? We don't mess around with spiritual things. We respect the fact that there are real spiritual forces. Jude, verse 9. But when the archangel Michael contended with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." And I include this verse because sometimes we are out there looking for the enemy to be like, "I rebuke you." But even Michael, the archangel, did not take it so lightly. And his words were, "The Lord rebuke you," because it's all Jesus' authority, not ours. Like, what did I ever do? I didn't die for anybody's sin. I'm not God. Jesus did it. I'm saved. I'm forgiven. But I'm not so stupid as to think that the demons dancing around are subject to me. They're subject to Jesus. And that's really important for us to keep around. We rely on the power of God and not our own ability or authority. Even angels know that the victory is in Jesus' name. We rely on Jesus and depend upon him when we feel under spiritual oppression or attack. Okay? A couple more thoughts. I know I'm long-winded today. We focus more on God and less on the devil. Some people are obsessed with finding Satan in everything. Under every rock, every sneeze, behind every tree. They blame him for everything. They read books about Satan. They think that everything is because Satan's up to something. And listen, Satan is up to something, but I'm not sure that everything that happens to me is because Satan himself is trying to, you know. Sometimes I just ate something funny, right? I want to encourage you. We are to be aware of the enemy and his plans, but we should be much more about God than we are about the enemy. Don't spend all your time thinking about Satan. I'm telling you right now, if you're doing that, it's not healthy and it's not godly. You show me where in Scripture it says to keep your mind focused on Satan and the enemy. I know where in Scripture where it says whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is noble, think about these things. Satan is none of those things. Nowhere in Scripture are we encouraged to fear Satan, to study Satan, to focus on Satan. Oh. Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace, who? Whose mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts on you, trusts in you. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Look at this. Seek the things that are above. I can't, and I'm going to emphasize this again, find anywhere in Scripture where Satan should be our focus. We are called to know God, to seek after God, to study God's word. If you want to be effective in spiritual warfare, then you need to know the one who's won, not the one who's defeated already. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set out before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It starts out real simple, looking to Jesus. He is the founder and perfecter of your faith. Pursue him. I don't care what other books out there talk about. You know, I've had people share with me, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, if you wake up, that's the devil. Because that's the devil's witching hour. Where do you get that from? I just had to go to the bathroom. I don't care to study the enemy. Because the enemy is not the one who died for me. The enemy is not the one who set me free. The enemy is not doing anything for me. My energy needs to be on seeking God with all that I have. And we already established that God is to be rightly feared. He is the powerful one. He is the one that I got to worry about pleasing. And if I'm pursuing him, then what is the enemy going to do? I understand the enemy may try. I understand that maybe the enemy is going to do his best. But my sure foundation is not in more knowledge of the enemy. My sure foundation is in Jesus Christ and having a relationship with him that is strong and healthy. All right, I'm really getting long-winded. Submit yourselves to God and resist the devil. James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Doesn't say no that he wakes up at 3 o'clock. It says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. With our eyes fully fixed on Jesus, we submit ourselves to him, and we follow his lead. And we resist the devil and his schemes. If we are submitting to Jesus, then by default, we're going to be resisting the devil. Because if we're following Jesus' lead, we can't follow both Satan. So if we follow Jesus, then when the enemy comes, we say, no, thank you. There's this guy on the internet that I love to watch. He does these little clips, and he'll show these weird things. He loves to show people cooking, but they're doing this really weird stuff with the cooking, like they're throwing chicken in a glass bottle and then putting it in the dishwasher to cook it. And so they show that, and then you see him go, no, thank you, right? That's what I feel like saying. I don't need to focus on Jesus, on Satan. If I'm focusing on Jesus, then when the enemy comes in, I just say, no, thank you. I'm following Jesus' plan. This is the principle we see in Job. Continually submit yourself to God. Even though Job stumbled a little bit there, being like, all right, God, why is this happening? In the end, what did he do? He humbled himself before God, and God took care of him. Submit yourself to God. That's how we do battle. Not by knowing every name of every demon out there. Who even came up with that stuff? Or not by knowing, you know, whatever. We know Jesus. That's how we do battle. Second Timothy 1:7. This is our theme verse. This is where I'm going to land today. For God gave us this. For God did not. Oh. For God gave us not. Oh. You know what? It's been a long morning already. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I bring it back to this theme because we are not called to be afraid. We haven't been given a spirit of fear, Fear is the enemy's plan. And it's his plan to distract us, cripple us, and trip us up. What we have been given is the Holy Spirit, who empowers us. He helps us to experience the love of God and to love others. And he enables us to live self-controlled, godly lives. I know that there has been a lot of talk about the witches of Whiting. We are called to pray. I think scripture is clear that we pray, we intercede, we do spiritual battle. But if the message has been to be afraid, then we've been wrong. Because we are God's children. And in the end, we don't need to fear the enemy. We need to be wise. But the victory is in Jesus. And nothing will overturn that victory. And so we pursue him with all that we have. We make him the primary thing. And we let him take care of the enemy. Can you pray with me?